Speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever been on the top of a mountain or in a place of great beauty where you feel as if you could stay forever, standing in awe and silence? In whatever direction you look, you see only pure splendor. I had an experience like this recently while on retreat in Germany. My husband and I spent a lovely time in a Cistercian convent up in the hills overlooking the Rhine River. Each evening of our stay, we went on a walk along the bank, enjoying the beautiful views of the rolling hills and the river below. One evening, as the sun was setting behind the trees, hues of pink, orange, and yellow seemed to float across the sky, and everything was silent. We could hear nothing but the sound of the river below. And suddenly, I was aware of the presence of God in a special way. I had an overwhelming sense that God was there in the silence and was reaching out to us in the beauty of the moment. Now, experiences such as these are wonderful, sometimes even life-changing. When we become aware of God's presence in whatever way, we are reminded how God often works in ways that might surprise us. And I think this was somewhat of Daniel's experience in his vision we heard read this morning. And Peter, James, and John were certainly surprised by their experience of God as Jesus is transfigured before them. Daniel sees a divine presence coming down from the mountain, down to earth, where according to poetic imagination, heaven touches earth and God engages with humanity. Here, Daniel encounters the hidden glory of God that, like a devouring fire, is powerful, even dangerous. And it could be that the gospel accounts of Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration allude to this story, for the connection is not difficult to see. Like the vision of Daniel, the transfiguration is one of those Bible stories that is steeped in drama. Like the parting of the Red Sea or Noah's Ark, we see the transfiguration in our mind, and we use our imagination to fill in the details. Jesus is praying on the mountain, and suddenly he is changed. With him stand Moses and Elijah, and Peter, James, and John are caught up in the drama of the moment. Jesus, as bright as the sun, is surrounded by the overwhelming presence and the voice of God. And then, as quickly as it occurred, Jesus is back to normal, the friend they know and love. And what happens next, in some ways, is the most important part of the story. Jesus puts their fears at ease and leads them down the mountain. And the illusion here is important. As Jesus comes down the mountain, he reenacts the incarnation when God comes down from his holy mountain as one of us, when his beauty entered the world in a new and powerful way. For God is present in the ordinary and everyday reality of life. It is here where God meets us and where the light of Christ illumines the darkness. Now, as I was preparing for today's sermon, I was interested to read that the celebration of the Transfiguration falls on the same day as the anniversary of the dropping of the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, the first of the two most devastating acts of war to date. I'm sure we can all recall the powerful photo of the mushroom cloud and the flashes of light below. I remember as a child studying about the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and learning how these tragic events were seen as necessary means carried out to end the war. Now, I don't doubt the truth of this conclusion, and yet its consequences, true or not, call us to face what we really believe when we say that God has come among us. In September 1945, in the midst of the end of the war celebrations, a powerful article was published in the Catholic Worker, connecting the recent bombing with the transfiguration of Jesus. The article was written by Dorothy Day, who was a journalist, social activist, and a key figure in the Catholic Worker movement. She challenged the American Church in particular, saying, "The Church is to think not only about the returning Allied troops, but also about the Japanese men, women, and children. For they, too, are our brothers and sisters, and we have killed 318,000 of them. In that light, jubilation is sorely out of place. For transfiguration, the real presence of the light of Christ, calls us to enter the darkness." When I was about 11 years old, I read the book titled Hiroshima, and I was deeply troubled by what I read. And I decided then and there that I believed that war was wrong in any circumstance. Now, this, of course, was a bit naive. At the age of 11, I understood very little about the complexity of war and peace in our world. And yet, while my understanding is a bit more nuanced today, I still hold the belief that seeking peace is not only central, but inseparable from the Christian gospel. For our calling as the church is to spread the good news that the God of peace has broken into our world. He is here, shining his light into the darkest places. And this calls to mind for me a recent experience I had with someone who understands the power of light in the midst of darkness. Last week, one of our Welcome Box visitors and myself met with a woman currently seeking asylum, and we will call her Anne. As we sat down to a lovely cup of tea and cake, the three of us engaged in the usual small talk about the weather and what it's like to live in London. And after a while, Anne began to tell us her story. She spoke of the trauma of war, separation from family, and mourning the life she lost while coming to terms with the person she is today. Towards the end of her story, Anne mentioned that she had recently taken up painting, and to her surprise, this has made a big difference in her life. Anne struggled to put her experience into words, but as she spoke, it became apparent that through her new love of art, through the act of painting, she has begun to heal. Her engagement with the joy of art has illumined her faith and has transformed her life. In the midst of very real darkness, Anne has met the beauty and the light of God. At St. Peter's, we have many opportunities to help one another recognize the light of God in our lives. And this begins today as we join together in worship in sharing the Eucharist, as we recall how Jesus identified himself with broken bread and wine outpoured. We see that he is for us a window into the light of God. And so this morning, in our worship and throughout the week ahead, let's take the time to recognize and embrace the glimmers of God's light in this present moment. For it is from here, from this very place, where God transfigures the world in ways that might surprise us. Amen.